At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us here on the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. This is Dave Schrader, your host, along with me, co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. This evening, we've got a great show lined up for you. We have, from the hit sci-fi Ghost Hunters TV show, we've got the lovable and fun Brian Hunois. And I wanted to mention, just before we get into the interview with him this evening, now, if you had a chance to listen to the show with James Gilliland, who has the property out in Washington, where he purports to have UFO activity taking place all the time, we are going to try to put together a trip for the summer, perhaps in June, where we're going to go down to that location with about 15 to 25 of our listeners to put together a program package. If you have an interest in attending, please email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Again, that's dave@darknessradio.com. We're going to go out there and spend probably a long weekend, 2 to 3 nights out there to check out the skies and see if we can make contact with ET or whoever else is up there. We also are trying to position ourselves. We're going to be doing a ghost hunting trip with two of the ghost hunters from the Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters show. We're right now in negotiations working with a couple of the different guys and gals in the group to see who might be able to join us. So if you have an interest in attending a ghost hunting trip with a couple of the ghost hunters and Dave and Tim, again, please email me and just tell me in the reference line whether you're interested in the alien trip, in the ghost hunt trip, or both. And then we're going to try to get you information about the trip and how you can attend it and be a part of it. Our phone lines are open. We have Brian on the phone with us. You can reach us at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. If you're on the boards watching or listening along and talking on the darknessradio.com forum boards, and you have a question, you can always type it up to Robin, the phone girl, who's monitoring those boards, and she can bring it into us if you didn't have a chance to get the question in before the show. But right now, let's go to the phone lines. Brian, are you there with us?
I'm here, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great, Brian. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, man, no problem. We've been looking forward to having you on. A lot of people wanted to talk to you and get you going, and you know, as I warned you, we're going to have some tough questions for you here in the beginning, but let's get through them.
That's fine. No problem whatsoever.
Move through them here, and then we'll get into some of the fun stuff for you as well.
Sounds good.
Now, everybody that's been watching the Ghost Hunter show knows it's kind of a docu-soap. It's a documentary and a bit of a soap opera with all the personalities and the conflicts that go on in the group. I've got some great questions from people that have been watching the show or big fans of the show.
Okay.
Kristen from Benson, Minnesota wanted to know that, do you feel that the episodes we see of Ghost Hunters have been accurate of the turmoil with the team, or do you feel that they're just too negative in regards to you or not?
No, I think the shows are accurate about the turmoil that I went through. I had a lot of problems that I had to deal with in my personal life, and I did leave for a while. I did leave for about 6 months, and it was accurate. They met me down on that ball field when I left, and they weren't too happy with me, and I can't blame them. You know, it was just a very tough time in my life, and I've gotten everything all straightened out, and I lost the girlfriend, and back to my normal happy self from now on. So.
That's like they say, are you married or happy? So, you're, okay, but let's now get this out there. I know you and I have talked about this in the past.
Yes.
A lot of people held a lot of grudges against this past girlfriend, and now you've got a female friend that you hang out with quite a bit, and
yes.
She seems to catch a lot of flack and a lot of dirty looks. You just want to set the record straight that if anybody sees you out and about with a young lady on your arm, it is not the woman that caused all the turmoil and strife on the show.
No, I do not associate with her anymore. A lot of people have seen me with a friend of mine, and they think that she is, you know, I get a lot of funny things. They'll come to me and say, oh, my God, it's Brian, and they'll give her a dirty look. It's not her. I know a lot of people didn't see the Halloween special because it was on at a weird time.
Right.
No, I'm, trust me, I haven't talked to that girl for a long time now. So, yeah, definitely not the person. She's not the one that I left taps for, so... You know, make sure that she doesn't get any dirty looks and stuff when I'm seen with her. I don't want her thinking that, you know, she always thinks that, oh, great, here comes another person thinking that I'm going to be the girl that he left for. It's not true. Not
right.
True at all.
Now, Animus87, also Stacy, I believe her name is here from Minnesota, had a question. How bothered are you with how your personal and professional relationship with Grant and Jason has played out on TV for everyone to see?
How bothered am I? I can say I was a little bothered. It was kind of funny because when I was just coming back into Taps, they were showing my goodbye episode, which was kind of weird because I was actually sitting at Jason's house when the goodbye episode was airing. And I could see how the way I looked and everything and how they were mad and everything. And it bothers me a little bit because I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of people saying, you know, are you back with Taps? People still don't even know if I'm back with Taps yet. And it's like, I'm back. I'm happy. Me, Jason, and Grant and Steve get along fine now. You know, it's the animosity was there because we didn't speak with each other for a long time. But the way they portrayed it on TV was accurate, and I can't say anything because it was my fault. It was my fault. I shouldn't have left, and I shouldn't have done the things I did. So, you know, I can't say that the way they portrayed it or anything like that, or they portrayed it too much because so what happened. You know, it's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, that's fair enough. I appreciate you being honest with us about that. Are things better now in your relationship with Jason and Grant? I know you were a lot closer with Jason, I believe.
Yes, I was.
Are you guys back to normal now? Is it still a little tense?
No, I think me and Jason are back to normal now. We don't hang out as much because obviously he has obligations with his family and he has, you know, five kids and he has, you know, so much stuff to do with his family, especially because he's gone, you know, for 3-4 months at a time.
Sure.
That we don't usually hang out a lot, but you know we're fine. He calls me every day or so, just says hi and see how it's going and stuff. And when he goes on his little trips and stuff, that if I don't go along, you know, I wish him, you know, good luck on the trips and stuff. And he says thank you. And you know I think we're back to normal. It's just that we don't have enough time to, you know, with all the scheduling and stuff, to hang out like we used to.
Sure. Well, that question came from Waskily Wabbit. She said that you'd probably recognize her from the boards.
Yes.
She also wanted to know, how long have you known each other, and how did you guys come to meet?
that's pretty funny. I've known him for about six years now, and it was funny one day. I was just sitting at my computer. I had been doing paranormal investigating for about 6 years, and I wanted some... I wanted to join a group. I wanted to learn more than just going out to a cemetery with a tape recorder. Excuse me. And so I typed in on a local search engine. I typed in paranormal and Rhode Island, and the Atlantic Paranormal Society topped up. So I clicked on it. I saw Jason's name. He said founder, so I clicked on that. I emailed him, and like 5 minutes later, my phone rang. It was him. And 3 days later, we were meeting at the local coffee shop to, you know, join. And I joined the team. I've been in with him ever since.
Was that before Grant became a part of the team as well?
Oh, no, Grant was there. I had just emailed Jason because he said founder. He was like, he's
sure.
The top one on the list. So
well, the reason
like,
I ask is I know Jason already had the group started, and that's how Grant got to know him,
yes.
Too. So
oh, no,
Grant was
already in the group when I joined.
Okay.
So.
Can you? I know Jason and Grant are very guarded with their history of why they got into the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's heard your story that I'm aware of yet. Is that something that you're willing to share? What got you involved in the paranormal? Why you have this interest and wanted to learn more?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Sure.
I was about 11 years old, and I was sleeping over my friend's house one night, and his house was supposedly haunted, you know, and you know, we'd always make jokes about it, like, oh, here comes the ghost, it's going to get you. So, you know, when you're a kid, your parents tell you to go to bed, and you're with your friend, you're not going to go to bed. You're going to sit there and talk, and he had bunk beds. I was on the top bunk. And we were talking to each other back and forth, and all of a sudden a full-body apparition came walking right through the wall into the room, came walking right by us into the other wall. And just to let you know, we didn't sleep in that room that night.
Was it a residual type haunting?
No, actually, it was an intelligent haunting. There was certain times where we had one time in particular. Like, I think it was like 3 or 4 days later. He had a bowl of candy corns. Those things, you know, little candy corns for Halloween.
Sure.
And it disappeared, and we couldn't figure out where it went because nobody wanted to eat them because they were, you know, we don't like them. And we were up in the attic like a day after, and we found them in the back corner of the attic. Like they were put up there by whatever was haunting the place because nobody else goes up there. And I think it was a intelligent haunting because it would move things. And my friend even said that he actually heard it talking at one point. So I think it was more an intelligent haunting than residual. So.
Okay. So, but did it interact with you guys when it came through the room or give you a look?
No, it didn't even look at us. It just walked right through, which was kind of, you know, now that I know a lot about the paranormal and I've studied it extensively for years, it seemed like a residual haunting, but with everything else that went on in that house, it would seem more like an intelligent haunting, but it didn't look at us at all, just walked right through.
Since that time, have you had quite a few more? I mean, not a lot of people have the luck to actually see an apparition.
No.
You know, they hear the voice or the knocking or walking around upstairs, but nobody, you know, not many people get to actually see the apparitions themselves. Have you had that opportunity to see quite a few more since that time?
I've seen three now. I've seen three full-body apparitions. I've seen a lot of shadows, a lot of movement, a lot of grayish forms. But to actually see a full-body apparition where you actually make out the face and make out the features, I've only seen three now. I think it was three for the exact. But the fourth one because I've seen a partial apparition.
Okay. And that question came from Tommy, 55, from the Taps Boards.
Awesome.
She also wanted to tell you that she hopes that you stay with the group now, and she's watched your show from the beginning, and it's just not the same without you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. Being a part of the boards myself... for both the Taps Boards and the boards over at the Sci-Fi Channel. I know that was quite a bit of talk. There was, you know, of course, like with any show, everybody's got their favorites, and there was, you know, just as many I'm glad Brian's are gone as there was of I wish Brian would come back. So, yeah, it was nice to have you come back and be a part of the show again. You definitely had a different dimension to it, I know.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're a fun guy to watch on there. I know a lot of the guys joke around with you about on the Sci-Fi board calling you the Gilligan of the show.
They can call me anything they want.
As long as they tune in, right?
Well, not even that. They tune in. They can call me anything they want, but I'm just a fun guy. You know, I don't sit there and I'm not serious all the time. That's the way I am. If you ever meet me in real life, I'm just the goofball that runs around and has fun.
Okay.
It's just something I do, you know. It's like if people don't like it, then, you know, I'm sorry, but it's just, that's me, you know.
Sure.
I'm not going to change myself just because I'm on TV.
Okay. Now, Robin Bailey, also known as I Live to Write, had asked a couple questions here. She wanted to know if you feel, what do you feel is the biggest misconception people have about you after seeing the show? And if you could set something straight about those perceptions, what would it be?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I think the biggest misconception is that I'm a screw up. I make a lot of mistakes, especially when I was a tech manager. I want to set that record straight. Yes, I know I lost a piece of equipment on camera. I understand that, and I know I used to lie a lot, and that's just the way it was. And the thing is, now I'm a different person. I've gone through that whole change where I left the group, and I had a lot of different things happen to me that made me come back and straightened out my life. I'm not a big screw up like everybody thinks. I was a tech manager for a while. I was case manager for a while. I'm still part of the tech team. Steve wouldn't, since he's a tech manager, he wouldn't trust me with half the stuff that I do if he thought I was a screw up. And I just want everybody to know out there, I'm not that guy that's on that paranormal team where, okay, just give him an email detector and keep him quiet. You know, I'm not like that. I know my stuff. I'm a very intelligent guy. I think so, at least. I'm a very intelligent guy, and I know how to investigate. I know how to, you know, use the equipment. I know how to teach about using the equipment because I used to do lectures about the equipment. So that's the biggest misconception is that I'm just that big screw-up, and I know I know I'm not, and people will see that this year, that I'm not actually a screw-up.
Okay, that's fair enough. I do have to ask you a question with this in mind now. You know, I mean, a lot of the times it looks, and the big debate on all the boards are, you know, how much of this is real and how much of it is acted up. Do you feel that there was a lot of push from either the Pilgrim Films or from Sci-Fi Channel to make a little bit more drama of what occurred with you than was necessary? Or do you feel it was just really being played out in front of the camera normally?
literally it was being played out in front of the camera. That conversation you see with me, Jason, and Grant at the ball field was like an hour. And of course you can't play that all for an hour because the episode would be gone. it was just all played out. They just had him walk up to me. We talked, and there was nothing like said, okay, you have to say this, this, and this. Nothing like that's ever done. We don't sit there, and the only time they'll have us say something very specific is if we're explaining a piece of the equipment, or we're doing like one of those evergreens where you see the taps in the background with the big black background.
Right.
That's when we say something specific, like we're actually talking about the equipment and stuff. Anything that's on the fly like that, anything that's just us talking, that's all real. Nothing like that's ever scripted.
Good. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Brian, because you just promised us you're not lying anymore.
Yes.
Things are all straight.
Yes.
And everybody wants to know this. And I got to tell you, after watching the show a couple times, I've had my questions about this as well.
Okay.
The episode when you were gone and they were in, New York, I think it was, and somebody came up the street and grabbed the piece of equipment and took off running. Brian, it looks like you.
No, 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 that's not me.
Brian?
No, I swear to you. Hey, I know exactly. I was sitting in New Haven, Connecticut, working at my job at the home improvement warehouse. I know that for a fact because I actually got a telephone call that week from Jason seeing how I was doing and stuff, and they said they were in New York. I'm like, hey, congratulations. He's telling me they were actually doing a museum in New York. And nope, that was not me. I swear to God, that was not me.
All right, if you promise, I'll take your word for it.
I promise. That wasn't me stealing the equipment.
Brian, are you sure there isn't a new video toaster in your place? No?
Just don't tell anybody, okay?
I just wanted to get that out there because I know everybody was talking about it. And I can, it's kind of like the apparition that you guys caught.
Yeah.
Was that on the Halloween special?
The one in the Moon River Brewery and the pool table?
No, the... maybe it wasn't the one you were on where they Jason and Grant caught it and looked
The thermal in Arkansas.
Right.
Yes.
That, I love the guys. I want to believe. But I got to tell you myself, after watching that, the image looks like Grant to me, the reflection.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know that there's no way to reproduce that because I've read postings from other paranormal groups that aren't even fans of you or your show that have said that they've been there and there is no way to reflect anything off those. But I mean, to be honest, if you look at a lot of the views and a couple of the guys on the sci-fi board, man, they're meticulous. They're able to break down that video, and damn if it doesn't look like Grant looking down.
Well, see, it may look like Grant a little bit, but the thing is too, if you look at that camera angle again,
mm-hmm.
when he pans over and you see the apparition, he moves back over across it, and there's if he hadn't moved, and if it was his reflection, you would have seen it again panning back across. So it was. I don't think that was his reflection. It looked too much like somebody was wearing a hat. It looked like he was actually nodding, and there's no way, no reason why that painted number two would have been red. That like actually heat, And that I've noticed that sometimes when you actually get paranormal activity, you get like either a very cold or a very heated spot in the area. So that gave it away a little bit to where I think it was actually a paranormal. I think that was a full-body apparition, to be honest. I mean, Jason and Grant showed me the raw footage, and, they asked me what I thought about it. They didn't tell me anything about it. They just showed me. And I said to them straight out, I think that's an actual apparition. I don't think that's Grant's reflection whatsoever.
All right. Real quick, Brian, we've got a call for you here.
Sure.
On the line, we've got a person that has a question for you here. Are you with us, caller?
Yes, I am.
Caller, can you hear Brian? Can you hear him? Okay.
I can hear him. Yes.
This gentleman's the name Keith Johnson. Does that mean anything to you?
Keith, how you doing, man? How you doing, bro?
What's going on, man? What's going on?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good to hear you on the air.
How you doing?
Good. I got a quick question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
What about that time that we were in New York and you put your hand into an actual spirit apparition?
Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Was that the one that was? Which one was that? Was that in Albany? Was that in?
That's Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Making sure there's been a couple of them. Yeah. Actually, it was weird because, like Keith was saying, I put my hand right into this thing. It was like a refrigerator. It was the weirdest thing. It was like, I can't even really explain it. It's like putting your hand in a freezer, but not really because it's like bone chilling, but not. And it was just weird. It was like you get the back of your neck, the hair stands up, and your eyes start watering, and it was like the coolest experience. I mean, all those experiences we had in Brooklyn was unbelievable.
Now, was that a full body apparition?
No. It was like a cold spot. It was like an apparition itself. It was like a, you could see it, but you couldn't. You know what I mean? It wasn't like you could see details and stuff, but you could see the shadowy kind of figure.
All right.
Am I right, Keith?
Yes, that's exactly
right.
Was
it kind of a shimmery?
It was more like a cloudy, like a grayish thing. It was more like a shadow, really. It was like more like a smoke.
It was like a distortion.
Yes, yes.
And for those of you listening, this is Keith Johnson, the demonologist from the Ghost Hunters group and TAPS, and also with his own group out in New England, who's calling in. He's worked extensively with Brian. As a matter of fact, you were one of the people that helped train Brian.
Yes, that is correct.
Way back when.
Yes, he is my mentor in the Atlantic Paranormal Society. When I joined TAPS, Jason appointed him to be my mentor, and he's like, you hang out with Keith, he'll tell you everything. And I tell you what, Keith is one of, if not the best paranormal investigator I've ever investigated with.
Now, Keith, on the email that you'd sent me about the question that you had for him, you mentioned that you guys were on this investigation, and Brian actually witnessed the spirit form coming up from behind you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that story, either one of you, and kind of elaborate on what were you guys investigating? What were you checking out?
It was an old house that there was a spirit presence in it, and my brother gave it the connotation wise guy, for lack of a better term, because we were getting a bunch of EVPs that seemed to have a sense of humor. And they were actually seeing spirit forms in the house, although they weren't complete. They were more like distortions in the atmosphere. And I happened to be doing a blessing. I was sitting on the sofa. Brian said, "Keith, it's coming right up in back of you." So I kept my cool, and all of a sudden I turned around and gave it a blast of holy water.
Well, now when you turned around, could you see it as well?
All I could see was darkness behind me. I could just see darkness behind me. But Brian had been facing me the whole time, and so had my wife, Sandra. They had been facing me, and so I couldn't really see what was behind me. So just in case there was something really there, I turned around and gave it a blast.
You weren't going to take the chance, huh?
You're right.
Yeah, because I mean, I was watching Keith, and I was watching him do the prayer, because my job is, back then, was when he would do the blessing, I would protect him. I would make sure that if it was an inhuman spirit, it wouldn't harm him in any way. And I was watching his back, making sure nothing was going on. We had a lot of experiences in that house. We went there like 4 or 5 times. And this thing manifested about 5 feet in back of him, and all I could see was like some legs and like almost like a torso. And I'm looking, and it's like I'm trying to see if my eyes are actually playing tricks on me. So I look away a couple seconds, and I look back, and it's still there. And I started walking toward Keith, and Keith is in mid prayer. So I'm like, "Keith, Keith," and I actually had to raise my voice. He's like, "What?" I'm like, "It's right behind you." And right when he turned around and he sprayed the holy water, it actually dissipated. It was like weird. The water hit a cloud of smoke, and it was just like, poof, it was
so
gone.
Do you believe that it was an inhuman spirit then, or?
I believe it was, yes.
We actually had a few times where actually at one point the whole gang was there. Remember this, Keith?
Yes.
The whole gang was there. Jason, Grant, we're all sitting there. And I think Jason was down on the first floor. I think it was me, Grant, Heather, Jen, and a couple of people in the room where we actually saw the apparition with Keith. It looked like somebody was sitting on the bed. And the bed was actually in 2 rooms over. It was like one big long room, but it was separated by like pillars. And I'm like, "Hey, somebody's sitting on the bed over there." And we look around, and Grant saw it and everything. He turned around and looked at it. And right when I made notice of it, it actually stood up, turned around, and stared at us. Like it was actually making notice, like, "Here I am."
Wow.
And I went running after it, and it dissipated. It just disappeared. But I had proof. People actually saw it, witnessed it with me, so it was pretty cool.
Hey, can I get both of you guys to hold on the line for us?
Sure.
We got to go to a commercial break,
sure.
But I have another question that Sparrow from the TAPS board has sent in, and I think it'd be great if both of you could take a chance to answer it. Keith, can you stick with us for a second here?
Yes, I can.
Great. Well, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guest this evening is Brian Hunois from the Ghost Hunters TV show, and also on the line with us, we have Keith Johnson, the demonologist from TAPS. We'll be right back with more and a couple of great other questions that have been emailed in right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool, but financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Car.
Carvana. Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
If you read Taps per Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps per Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Looks good at National Run, Roger.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboards are on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Number three. Hit your pitch to zero. Pitch is out. I can't hold out to two. Direction out.
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Run, Force, run! Run, Force!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, co-host and producer Tim Dennis. On the line with us this evening, we have Brian Unwah from the great TV show on the Sci-Fi channel, Ghost Hunters. And joining Brian for the last question is Keith Johnson, who's the demonology expert from TAPS organization, also has his own group. And Keith, let's make sure we mention that again. For people that have an interest in contacting you with your group, New England Anomaly Research, they can reach you at NEAR.
Dot S5.
S5, like Sam 5?
Yes.
So it's near, NEAR dot S5.
.com.
Great. Yes. So if you have any questions, if you would like to tune in, Keith also has a radio show you can check out on his website where he talks about the paranormal, so make sure to check him out as well. I'd like to welcome you both back to the show. Thank you for being with us this evening. Got a question here from Sparrow. She had emailed in, and maybe you could both shed a little light on this. I know we had Keith on a couple weeks back, Brian, and he was sharing with us the story of the unaired episode from The Ghost Hunters with Marguerite. And Sparrow wanted to know, she said she saw the part of the video during one of Carl and Keith's presentations and remember seeing you in the room for part of this. And she was wondering, Brian, was this experience as frightening for those who were there as it appeared to be? And she said she was really taken by the look of compassion that you had on your face for this poor woman. And she just wanted to say thanks for being a part of the show.
Thank you very much. It was kind of weird. That whole day I was actually very, very nauseous and sick. I had headache, nausea, I didn't get actually sick, but it was just, I just didn't feel good. And we had just finished doing the blessing in the basement, and Marguerite had come down to check out what we were doing and stuff with her husband, and she came back upstairs, so she sat down,
And the key thing is when she goes into her trance and goes into her possession state, she takes off her glasses and rubs her eyes. Well, I sat down in a chair right in front of her because I was like, you know, I didn't feel good. And, you know, even the blessings, it takes a lot out of you, especially when you're dealing with an inhuman spirit. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not really paying attention, and then I just saw her take off her glasses, and then I look up because I saw her take off her glasses. I'm like, oh, Christ. And she rubbed her eyes, and then she looked up, and her eyes were black. And I...
No, you mean the colored part was black, or the entire eye was black?
The entire eye was black. And I'm looking, and all you can actually hear from the videotape is me go, Keith? Keith, and he comes running in. He's like, well, I'm like, deal with this. You know, what's going on? I'm just waiting for her to get up and attack me or something, you know? And it's like, I felt bad because she was yelling and screaming, and it was just a very, very frightening, you know, case. You know, even though I had Keith there, and I knew he, you know, Keith and Sandra were there, and I knew that he would, you know, take care of it, and he was trained in this part. It's just, you know, I've heard the stories of, you know, the person that's actually possessed, you know, getting the strength of 10 men and just throwing everybody around. And I'm like, you know, this isn't going to be good. But, you know, Keith sat there and he, you know, he did his thing and calmed her down and, you know, got her to calm down enough to where we could, you know, work with it. And we did a great job. He did a great job at it.
Keith, now, is that normal? I know you had mentioned the story and Brian did that Brian got real sick. Is it normal when dealing with an inhuman entity that they'll start mucking with you or muck with somebody in the group like that, that they might consider a threat or?
That is not uncommon. That is true. And as in Brian's case, sometimes it'll start happening earlier in the daytime. Like Brian was getting ready to leave and all of a sudden it started hitting him. And by the time he was ready to leave, he was getting sick as a dog, and I give him credit for making the trip.
Do you think any of that could be psychological in the fact that he knows he's going to this purportedly haunted home that's dealing with an inhuman and dealing with a woman that's possessed? I mean, do you ever think, first of all, did he know that before you guys went there? And if he did, do you think that that might have had some effect on why he was feeling ill? I mean, personally, if I knew I was going to face that, even though I want to help people and I'd like to be a part of that, I'd be kind of queasy and getting headachy myself, I think, knowing what I was about to deal with.
I'd say that's possible with some people, but knowing Brian as I do and the many cases we'd been on before there, and dealing with the demonic was like nothing new to him, so he's usually raring to go when it's something like that. So I don't think it was psychologically affecting him. I think it just hit him like that.
Well, it wasn't either. I remember what happened. I was laying in bed. I was just chilling out watching TV, and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just started feeling crappy. And the funny thing is, they actually drove my car. I couldn't even drive. I was in the back seat all laid out. And we get up there, and we did the case, and like I think it was like 15 minutes after the case was done, I felt fine. It was just the weirdest thing in the world, and it's never happened again. And I hope to God not, because I tell you what, I don't want to go through that on a case again.
Sure. You know, we have in the studio with us our first guest from the first hour of the show. Her name is Jesselyn Devereaux, and she had a quick question for you or a quick observation about that.
Actually, I was just going to say that it sounds like Brian's an empath. Would you use that to describe yourself?
I don't think so. Not really. I've heard people say that about me before, but I've never really delved into it because I'm more on the technical side of the paranormal.
Okay.
So I never really delved into it, but it could be. You know, I've had a couple people actually say that to me. And
no, Brian, they said you were a psychopath. There's a difference between an empath.
That is true. Yeah.
Great. Well, Keith, thank you very much for joining us this evening and for being a part of the show again with us.
You're welcome. By the way, have you ever heard a spirit scream?
No.
Couple times, Keith.
Okay. Here's a spirit screaming. That's an actual EVP of a spirit screaming.
That loud moaning in the background, that scream?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian was there, and I'll know if he remember that.
Which one was this? Was that the one in Reading?
Yes, that's when we heard it out loud.
Yes, that was funny.
So that wasn't one that just came up on an EVP that you heard later?
That's one we actually heard while it was happening, while I was doing a blessing.
Yep.
Wow. And was it... Now, was that one that during a possession, so that was actually coming from the person, or was this just
No, that was coming out of thin air.
Yeah.
That was actually during a blessing of a demonic infestation of a house.
Can you play that one more time for us so we can hear
it? Sure.
That?
Yep. I'll play that one more time. Yeah.
almost like a growling, almost sounded even like a cat screaming at the end there.
And they blame it. Yeah, it's kind of animalistic.
Huh.
But that came out of the thin air, and Brian was right there with me.
Yeah, and I remember you and everybody all turned around saying, was that you? I'm like, I didn't say a word.
Well, good deal. Well, thank you very much again for joining us, Keith. We're going to have you back on because you've got a lot of great EVPs and some really creepy stuff, and I know people were really impacted with the sounds from Marguerite's exorcism, and we'd love to hear some more stuff that you have. So thanks again.
I look forward to it, Dave.
Hey, Keith, I'll see you later on in the week for that thing.
Great.
That's not fair. You know, that thing that
he's doing a lecture in Providence, and he asked me to come along for a little guest appearance where I get to...
Oh, that's great. Now, is that something that is open to the public, Keith, or is that a...
Well, that's with the Learning Connection.
Oh, okay.
We'd mentioned before.
Why don't we mention that again real quick for people before we let you go? With the Learning Connection, you can look that up at learningconnection.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up when?
That's coming up this Friday evening.
Okay.
Friday. You can also link to it on my site, too.
Okay, and
give you all the info.
NEAR.S5.com.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Keith.
Okay, and God bless you both.
Thank you. You too.
See you later, Keith. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you very much, Brian. I'm glad that you were willing to share a little bit of time here with Keith on that.
I'll share anytime with Keith. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a fantastic guest. We really loved having him on a couple of weeks back. Let's get back to a couple more questions here. We do have phone lines open if you have an interest in giving Brian a call. 612-375-1400. And Brian, don't be too bothered if not many people call in. Or a lot of them love to email in the questions because they're afraid they're going to sound like goofballs on the radio. They'll just leave that up to Tim and I to sound like goofballs. So.
Yeah. I always sound like a goofball, so it's nothing new for me.
Daryl Drew emailed in and wanted to know, said, "Hey, Brian, I was just wondering how long you've been in the business of ghost hunting, and also wanted to say I love watching you and the Ghost Hunters, and the show is great. I'm a big fan of you and Steve. Hope to see you on more episodes, and take care."
Oh, thank you very much. You can actually see me and Steve doing our little antics for every episode this new season.
Oh, great. You're in all of the next nine?
Yes.
Now, this isn't really a new season. It's just the last nine of this season two, correct?
Yeah, back nine of season two. So the TAPS crew, we're calling it season 2.5. So.
Okay. All right. So how I know that you said you joined TAPS, what, about 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, it was actually, it was August 20th, 99.
Okay. Now, so, had you been involved in investigating this before then?
Yes, actually. Right after I had my personal experience, I started, going to the library when I was a kid and getting books and stuff. And, you know, I had all the kids in school. I was the one going to the libraries and photocopying all the demonology sections of the books and all the ghost sections of the books. People were calling me Satanist and all that good stuff.
Boy, and, nowadays, with all the Columbine stuff, they'd have had the FBI watching you, Brian.
Oh, yeah, of course. And the thing is, you know, I was just reading, and I was learning and learning more and more about it. And so I decided about 2 or 3 years later to start going to cemeteries and stuff and start, you know, stuff you're not supposed to do. But, you know, when you're a kid, you're 15, 16 years old, you want to start going to cemeteries. And so I've been doing the paranormal for about, I'd say about 12, 13 years now.
All right. So. Now, I do have a couple of questions that were emailed in from both Animus87 and Michelle Hall. They wanted to know, first off, do you have any suggestions for people who'd like to pursue their interests in getting into the paranormal? Any suggestions on how to go about doing that? Would you start your own group, or would you try to look for a group that's already in existence?
I would actually, the way I did it was I did a little bit amateur-wise, but I would look for a group that's already in existence because that means you can actually go on a case. Like when I joined TAPS, they were already in existence for, I think, like 6 years. And 6 or 7 years, so that means that they already had cases lined up.
Sure.
And I could go on an investigation in somebody's house, and I could actually see how a real one was done. For a person that just wants to create their own group and just do their own thing, I'd say just have a level head. You know, make sure that you don't go by yourself like I did. I know better now. Just grab yourself a flashlight, an EMF detector, some kind of audio recorder, some kind of video recorder, and just go out and have fun. Just have a level head because, you know, there's a lot of things that you'll see out there that are not paranormal, and you might think they are. Like, you'll take a picture to be a bunch of orbs, and it's just dust. You know what I mean? So
sure.
You have to have a level head about these things because if not, you know, you could get yourself into a whole world of trouble, especially if you start messing around with Ouija boards or going into some cemeteries that, you know, are known for demonic hauntings. And you can get yourself into some serious trouble, especially any cemetery with the law now, because the police are actually cracking down a lot on that now.
Well, then that's a great lead-in for our next question. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Brian, we'd like to know from Animus and Michelle and quite a few other people that have emailed in, they'd like to know which investigation has been your favorite and which one has creeped you out the most.
Okay.
So we'll get those answers from Brian right after this.
I am Greenblock 6, and when I am in your galaxy, I listen to Dave and Tim on the darkness on the edge of town.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Troy Minnesota Mortgage was founded on one simple principle, to be your complete mortgage resource. Keith Troutman and the experts at Troy Minnesota Mortgage will assist you with all your needs. They've built a reputation for client satisfaction and are devoted to making the mortgage process as easy as possible. You get to work with a broker that understands your needs. Finding the right loan is only the beginning. Troy Minnesota Mortgage will assist you every step of the way to ensure smooth sailing with personal one-on-one help. I'm Dave Schrader, the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town. When I bought my new home, I turned to Keith Troutman to help me. He made what could have been a very stressful time easy and painless. He was considerate and realizes that this is more than just a job to him. It's the future for you. I recommend them to my friends, and I'm happy to recommend them to you. To take the first step to a financially free tomorrow, call 952-223-5000 or visit them on the web at cruiseatclose.com. For a fresh start, no matter what your current situation, call Keith at Tri Minnesota Mortgage. That's 952-223-5000. As Keith says, it's your money. Keep more of it. That's Tri Minnesota Mortgage, 952-223-5000.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet. But give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
If you read Tapstar Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy.
Tapstar Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters, to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
and banging on your walls. Next time, pay for the better hotel room.
Oh, no more Yankee, my winky. The donga needs food.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with your hosts, Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back. This is Dave Schrader. On the phone with us this evening, we've got a guest from the TV show Ghost Hunters from the Sci-Fi Channel, which will be returning on Wednesday, the 29th of March, for the last 9 episodes of Season 2. So make sure that you write that down, check it out, put it in. I do want to make a couple of quick acknowledgments while we can here, make sure that we've got all this mentioned out. Taps Magazine, if you have an interest, please do go check out the link on our website or go to tapsparamag.com. And they were kind enough, and Brian was kind enough, he's going to sign a couple of issues of the Taps Paramag, and we're going to send them out to a few of the people that have emailed in their questions this evening. We're going to be sending out one for Wascally Wabbit. For sending in your questions. We appreciate that. Also, Animus87 and Michelle Hall, we thank you very much for your questions. We'll make sure to get out a copy of the autograph magazine to you as well. Now, Brian,
yes.
I also want to make a quick mention to you. We're good friends with the people over at Sideshow Incorporated that make all those fantastic toys and movie collectibles, and I told them that you are a big Star Wars fan.
Yes, I am.
And that we're going to be having you on the show. And unfortunately, their Darth Vader stuff is not out right now.
Oh.
But they wanted to send along, they've got a beautiful quarter-scale statue of Han Solo.
Really?
Yes, that they have included for you. It's a beautiful $275 value statue that they wanted to give you as a gift for appearing
goodness.
On the show this evening. And we'll be getting that out in the mail to you. And just thank you so much for your time and being with us.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say.
Don't wow. know the power of the dark side.
Yes, I actually do.
And if you have an interest in obtaining really cool collectibles like that, you can check out Sideshow at SideshowToy.com. Again, that's SideshowToy.com. And just check out all their wonderful things. They make everything from X-Files characters, and trust me, there are very affordable characters, too, if you're not the big-time spender in the collectible market. They've got some beautiful pieces, and I think Brian told me he's collected some of the Sideshow stuff in the past.
Yeah, I have a couple of pieces from the Sideshow company, and they're gorgeous. I mean, they're the best detailed stuff I've seen.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and we'll get that out to you right away. So let's thank Sideshow Toy for that. Now let's get into the next question we had here for you, Brian, was which investigation of yours that you've done on TV, I guess so far, has been your favorite, and has there been one that's really creeped you out?
I actually got to say that the best one that I've had is actually the same one that's creeped me out, Eastern State Penitentiary.
Dude Run!
Yes, my Dude Run episode. Yes,
excellent.
Yes. The reason why it was the best was because it was the first time I've actually done a jail. I'd done a whole prison, you know, and it was just, it's just creepy going down those hallways and, you know, knowing that, you know, serial killers and rapists and all these people actually stayed in these cells. Like, all the negative energy that's in this place is just crazy. You know, you go down to death row and you read about, they have the billboards on who was there and, like, what they did, and I was like, my God, you know? And it's like, and the reason it was the creepiest was because, like, when me and Steve were investigating, we'd go by, you know, the doors. The cell doors would be open. And even if they weren't, it was just complete blackness in the cells. And you're just waiting for something just to reach out and grab you and suck you into the cells. It was just really, really creepy. And plus, you know, the whole Dude Run thing was, creepy myself. So.
Hey, now, there's Dude Run hats out there. Did I see that? And are there Dude Run t-shirts?
There's Dude Run t-shirts, Dude Run beanies, and Dude Run hats, yes.
Awesome. And where can they pick those up, do you know?
Actually, you can pick them up right off the Taps website. If you go to the Taps website, there's a link just right to the Taps, the merchandise site. And just go there, and they have all three of the, they have tons of Taps merchandise on the site itself.
Great. And we'll put up a link for that, too. It's the Atlantic.
Actually, if you go, it's all one. You can put in all one word now. TheAtlanticParanormalSociety.com.
Oh, great! So TheAtlanticParanormalSociety.com, and you can go in there and pick up your Dude Run hats, T-shirts, and beanies.
I have one.
When are we going to get the Dude Run talking bobblehead?
I wish. I mean, that'd be the coolest thing. That's my whole thing. I've collected action figures for a long time, especially with Star Wars and even the other things I've collected, Marvel comics and stuff like that. And I've always told Jason Grant, I'm like, if we actually make it to be an action figure, I know I'm all set. I'll have, you know, be the weirdest thing in the world to actually see me in the stores in an action figure.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of artists out there listening and a lot of people that are really talented. So if you want to make a cool bobblehead or an action figure of Brian, you go ahead and make it. You can contact me here at the station at Dave at Darkness Radio, and we'll make sure to pass it on to Brian for his private collection. So do check that out. Now, I know you said that was kind of your creepy and favorite one on there. I got to tell you real quick, I got to be honest with you. You took a lot of heat for that, and a lot of people were irritated and pissed off. And I think it's funny is kind of this whole feel that because you guys are on TV, you should be making it look professional. You know, I think you made it look human. And I know I'm going to get beat up here from all the purists out there saying that I'm just kissing Taps's butts again. But the fact is that, you know, I'm a 6 foot one, 250-pound guy. Tim is two. Thank you, Tim. Tim is two. And I could tell you, you know, the two of us could be down that hall. And if I'd have heard something or seen something, you could bet your ass that I'd have walked over Tim's skull to get out of that thing. And I'd have been screaming like a girl. So,
Dave, you got to look at it like this. You know, it was when it actually happened, you know, I've never ran out of a place. I've never, ever ran out of a place, especially if I'm investigating with Steve or whoever, because you're there investigating. You know, it's somebody calls you in. You don't do that. Thing was, it was on some downtime. We had just set up all the equipment. The camera guys were actually switching over to go into night vision cameras. And Dave was already done. And Dave Hobbs, the camera guy that follows me and Steve around mostly, he wanted to go take some personal pictures. So I wasn't going to let him do this alone because everything was already lights out except for the little foyer area where we set up the command central.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, so we sent down cell block 4, and we were walking down there. And the funniest thing is the hair on the back of my neck stood up. My eyes started watering. It's just a clear sign of, like, heightened energy. You know, it was just weird. It's like that's my sign to know that something's around. And I'm just joking around. I said, is there anybody here like to speak with us tonight? And he took a picture, and the shadow came out of one cell door, went right across the cell block into the other cell door. And for some reason, me and Dave flipped. We just freaked. And the thing is, he's funny because he took off first. And the camera angle you see, it's only like 400 feet, you know, from where we were to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like 3-4 second head start. And I actually passed him.
Very Shaggy-like.
I'm serious. It was like, but the thing is, like even Steve said it, you know, many, many times over and over, that he knows I wouldn't do that. Like right. If it was me and Steve investigating, we would have been ready for it. And we would have probably walked into the cell door, you know, where sure. It went to.
No, that's an important part with paranormal investigation too. Wouldn't you say that sometimes if you go in unprepared and you're with somebody that maybe isn't used to doing this, that you can get that kind of anxiety from one another, can't you? I mean, if
of
one
course.
Of you is real jumpy, doesn't that make the other guy in the group pretty flinchy?
Of course, it's only human nature to run away from something that you don't know about.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's you know, and especially with Dave, he was, this is only his, like, fourth or fifth episode, you know, that he's filmed. He didn't, you know, he wasn't really trained in the paranormal field yet, but I can guarantee you now, after 2.5 seasons, that, you know, after two, well, one, you know, full season, one first season, that, you know, he's learned, the whole crew's learned a lot about the paranormal.
Now, did that happen after the attack that happened to your sound guy?
No, actually, that was before.
Before, okay, because I was going to say that might have made him a little bit more nervous too.
No, actually, that was before. That was crazy too.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left here, Brian. Is there anything coming up that you're going to be doing or places you're going to be that we can promote for you and let everybody know about?
Right now, I'm actually going to that thing with Keith as of on Friday for that thing in Providence.
Sure, and that's in Providence. You can check that out at learningconnection.com.
Yes, and I'll actually be at Monster Mania in New Jersey, May 19th to the 21st. I'll be hanging out with my friend Paul from the Horror Channel, and we'll be just sitting there hanging out and signing autographs.
Okay, great. And that's in New Jersey?
Yes.
In May, correct?
Yes.
All right, and we'll put up a link for that as well, so if people have an interest in that, we'll get it set up. And do you know if there's any information or a link for the...
I think if you go to monstermania.com, it's right up on the forum board, the message board.
Great. That's monstermania.com. You'll be able to check out and see Paul from the Horror Channel, and Brian will be there as well from Ghost Hunters. Brian, I really appreciate you coming in. I mean, we had another guest for this evening that unfortunately caught this cold that's going around Minnesota and wasn't able to be here.
Hey, anytime, Dave. Anytime you need me.
And you stepped in. I really appreciate that coming through for everybody, and I know everybody was really excited. We are going to still have you come back and visit with us again in May once the shows have kind of the back nine are going to be rolling already. So we'll have you talk a little bit about the shows and what was going on. So for those of you that just found out today, he was on and didn't get a chance to get a question in, We'll be able to cover it then. And already we've covered all the questions that everybody wanted to know up front. Now we can get more into the paranormal as we move on.
Of course. And if anybody, I'm on MySpace too. If anybody wants to, you know, to ask me a question, you can email me there. My name there is Darth Wheezy. So DarthWheezy.
Okay. And they can look you up. Or you can go to the darkness. Radio.com. That's my paranormal or MySpace on MySpace there. And Brian's in my top eight, so you can just click on him and contact him there. Brian, can't thank you enough for joining us this evening on the Darkness on the Edge of Town. We'll hope to have you back again here in May with us with Dave Tango. Coming up next week, we've got another great surprise. We've got Lloyd Auerbach. He's one of the world's leading experts on ghosts and psychic experience. He has a master's degree in parapsychology. He's the director of the Office of Paranormal Investigations. He's a professor at JFK University, creator, instructor of the Certificate Program in Parapsychological Studies at HCH Institute, and a member of the Rhine Research Center Advisory Board. He's going to be on with us next week, and he's going to be talking to us about actual methods and tools of ghost hunting for the 21st century. He'll also have some stories of more of his exciting and perplexing ghost hunts. And we're going to have a special co-host next week. Steve Gonzalez from Ghost Hunters will be on. He's a big advocate of Lloyd Auerbach and wanted to share the hour with us. So make sure you do tune in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show next Sunday. Thank you for listening this evening. Thank you to our guests, Jesselyn Devereaux and to Brian Hunois. You're listening to AM 1470 KLBB Brooklyn Park.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.